I hope that my European listeners are bearing with me on episodes like these, where I cover issues that are quite specific to American ski racing. And don't worry, the next episode is with a fun, fast World Cup skier. But I think Colorado Mountain College's story is a good one, no matter what part of the ski racing world you exist in. I spent a lot of time on the NORAM circuit this year, and I chatted with various college coaches and club coaches about the different routes you can take as a ski racer. CMC provides a really cool, unique route. Let's get to it. And we are back. I'm Jimmy Krupka, and welcome to Arc City. Arc City is officially sponsored by Ski Racing Media. This episode is sponsored by On Location. I'd also like to thank Sync Performance for supporting me this season, and a shout out to Ski Cosmos, a ski simulator and training center in Vancouver. Learn more at skicosmos.com. Scott Tanner is the coach of the Colorado Mountain College ski team, and Matthew Macaluso is a former U.S. ski team member and a senior on the CMC ski team. Without further ado. Scott Tanner and Matt Macaluso, welcome to Arc City.
Thanks for having us, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I'm excited to tell your guys' story. Scott, you were saying you listened to that episode about USCSA, and I just saw something that the Middlebury College team was unsuccessful in their formation, which is something that I was trying to do with that podcast episode. So I'm currently 0-for-1 in saving club teams, but I'm going to try to help you guys out. I think it's a cool story regardless, no matter what. So let's kind of start from the beginning. Scott, before we started recording, you were telling me that basically CMC, Colorado Mountain College, is a it's not an NCAA program, but you guys compete in all the NCAA races with the RMISA, which is the Western racing. So you compete against CU and DU and all these powerhouses out west. And what sorts of athletes do you have at this, like on your team? Is it they're pretty fast skiers? I mean, what you were telling me is like, they're not, you know, the Norwegian wonder kids that come over, but they're all pretty fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's kind of diverse, really. You know, we've had in the past, we had Ainsley Proffitt and Nicola Roundtree Williams coming straight off the US ski team to CMC. And then we have kids who have like a lot less experience that maybe were in a little bit smaller club, maybe got a late start, maybe had some injuries, or, you know, your fist career is so short now since we did the age change, like I think it was like 20 years ago. And now you're kind of getting your two high school years as a fist athlete.
Yeah.
Almost everyone does a PG year. But still it's hard to come to full maturity and make one of these powerhouse teams in the West if anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So we are pretty diverse, and we're just, you know, we ski a lot. We're based here in Steamboat. We have great training venues. And so we're skiing a lot, and we're trying to complete that development and see where we get with the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of US ski team members, I mean, yeah, it's very cool. Nicola, she raced for you guys, and then she ended up at DU, right? Racing for that D1 program.
Correct. Yeah.
As well as Ainsley, Jack Reich too. There was a number of athletes who skied for you guys for a year and then went to a D1 program.
Yeah. So Jack Reich transferred to CU after 1 year with us. Nick Unkovskoy, came here, you know, he was struggling with some injuries. We kind of got some of that figured out. He did a lot of that on his own. Like, he was very diligent when he was here. Then he did a year in Europe with Burke E-Team. And then now he's at Middlebury. Will Cashmore transferred to UAA. Isaac Mosen to UNR. And like you mentioned, Ainsley Proffitt and went to UAA also. And Nicola started at DU this past fall and is skiing pretty strong this year.
That's awesome. And,
you know, they have a really strong women's team. They have a really strong team, but, you know, to make the DU women's team is pretty challenging right now.
Yeah. And it's cool that you guys are a development pathway. I've done podcast episodes about, you know, college ski racing as a development pathway to the U.S. ski team. But you guys are obviously a stepping stone. What do you think it is about CMC? Like, I know you're probably pretty humble. You don't want to talk about your own coaching. I'll give you some credit. It's got to be the coaching, but like what else do you got going here? Like the atmosphere and the Howelson Hill and.
Well, I mean, the training's amazing. It's basically the ski areas from 3 miles down the road from the campus. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Matt and I are sitting in an office with a window and we're looking at all of Steamboat Resort right now.
Yeah.
From the campus, which is amazing. And you know, I think it's the environment really. You know, like I said, FIS is short. Like Matt's sitting here and he had a lot of success, not real early in his career, but you know, high school age and in the PG, and then some injuries, you know, and that's pretty common. Mm-hmm. Matt, you want to talk a little bit
Matt. Yeah. I mean, Matt, you were on the US ski team. So that's credential in itself.
Yeah. So I mean, when you come here, you have the Howelson gym. And it's accessible pretty much 24/7. You know, we may not have other resources like the powerhouses, but we have that. And that's really all you need to get strong and ready for the season. On top of that, you know, everything being close by is huge. There's no time wasted getting ready and preparing for the season. And the classes are very helpful, whereas the class sizes are very small. And you have kind of a unique college experience being able to speak with the professor, let them know what's going on, which, you know, they do also, but our class size is, you know, 30 or less. It's very personable. It makes it.
Class as in your whole grade.
Class, no, like a class size class, per sub.
You,
like,
you know,
per oh, for a, for a course that you're taking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that makes, you know, the school side easy. The gym is accessible. Everything's close by. There's no time wasted. I think that is what kind of creates our environment here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, especially for people who don't know, a lot of high level schools have to drive very far to train every day. I mean, DU is driving from Denver all the way up I-70 to Loveland. Eldora isn't that close to Boulder. You know, there's places like BC and Harvard that are driving like 3 hours round trip to go training in the middle of the week. The fact that you guys have it right down the road is huge.
Yeah. And, you know, these guys go to school afternoons and nights. Like we have classes that start at 7 o'clock at night and go on to 9. So we have a full training session every morning. You know, not like a couple hours, like try to get your 4 runs in, like stop, look at video if we want. We stop and actually coach on the hill because we have time, and we usually get off the hill around 11:30. They have time for lunch, get to a 12:30 or a 1 o'clock first class, and then, you know, study on into the night, get the skis ready for the next day, do it again. And it's a good environment that way. And it's a small place. You know what I mean? Yeah. We talk about ski racing a lot. There aren't a lot of other distractions like a school in a big city. You know, it's all about skiing here.
It's very
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. That's great. Isn't Steamboat nicknamed Ski Town USA? Is that
right? It's nicknamed Ski Town USA.
Yep.
And that has been a lot of the subject matter for discussions, that Ski Town USA is getting rid of their ski team.
Yeah. I mean, that's ironic.
It's a little ironic.
I guess a natural question comes up with that, like does the town of Steamboat care that they're losing a ski team? Like, is it a valuable asset to the town?
I think it is. It's a valuable asset to the town, and especially the ski club, which I think everyone knows. Steamboat Spring Swimmer Sports Club's a very big, very successful, and very historic club.
A lot of Olympians.
Some of which went to school here. I think maybe Jack Miller might be the only one that skied on the ski team at CMC, but a lot of Nordic guys that are training for the Olympics take classes here. And we have a great relationship with them. You know, we work really closely with their PG group, and even sometimes some of their junior groups, like U14s, like we do some guest coaching, and it's like really fun for our athletes too, to be coaching some U14s, or even younger. We help them out on the hill a lot with like maintaining the hill, fence work. Like, seems like every fall we show up and we put the B-net up. You know, like their coaches will be traveling somewhere and it's like, boys, girls, we just need to go up there, get the hill ready. And so the Winter Sports Club really appreciates us. And, mm-hmm. you know, this announcement came just as we were starting the season. So once we settle down in the spring, we're going to start to talk to, you know, City of Steamboat, Winter Sports Club, and CMC quite a bit more and see what we can figure out.
Yeah. I mean, that seems good. The ski racing article I read said that the final decision was going to come in January. Is that right? I mean,
yeah, I think that was a little bit of a misunderstanding, even for me. Now that article came out pretty quickly after we got the initial announcement, and in a sense, the decision's been made, but it seems to me like a little bit of an open-ended decision. And you know, the reality of it is, CMC is not only in Steamboat. There's, I believe, 11 campuses throughout the mountain region of Colorado. And
that's right.
School runs a great degree on Colorado tax revenue. And there's been some changes to the tax structure, property taxes specifically, on how much of those can go to funding CMC. So that's one of the issues.
Okay.
And then the fact that it has to cover 11 campuses and all the academics and all the facilities. And when there needs to be budget cuts, it's not the ski team against something else in the athletic department. It's
because the ski team is the only team,
you know, keeping the lights on in Apple campus. So it is, you know, it's a tricky situation. And I think all colleges are struggling with also the fact that enrollment's going to be down. And this new president at CMC is trying to forecast how low is this enrollment going to go. One of the reasons is the birth rate was down in the early 2000s. So there's less kids to go.
I didn't know that.
There's a few less kids who are deciding to go into the real world instead of college than there were 20 years ago. I think CMC is really going to thrive for that reason. But unless we have a crystal ball, we won't really know what that enrollment looks like in the next couple of years. And also, like I mentioned, the tax structuring is different on the funding.
Uh-huh. And so I guess, like, since the only athletic team that CMC has is the ski team, they've, you know, they have money to put towards it, but it's also hard to make an argument to have a team at all, I guess, when you're trying to keep the lights on and stuff like that. Do they say specifically why, Matt, like, they were cutting school funding? Or is that a better question for Scott?
Better question. Yeah.
Not really. You know, I started this job 7 years ago, and it was on the chopping block at that point.
Okay. So this has been a long time coming.
Yep. It really has. It really has. And In one sense, it doesn't make sense to have a ski team like this here. To all of us and the ski world, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I think to the community and the campus, really, it makes sense. But to put that on paper is a challenge, you know? And, you know, I came into this job 2018, I think. And the team was pretty small. It wasn't very successful at that point. And I said, well, let's roll up our sleeves and let's, you know, increase enrollment in the ski team.
Yeah.
You know, work really hard, get some results, and make this a legit team for this school. And I think we've really accomplished that. And I don't think anyone doubts that, but then, you know, it keeps coming up year after year on the budget. So tricky situation, but we're going to keep working on solutions.
I appreciate how balanced you are, because you guys could come out here and say, it's crazy, they're cutting the funding, whatever. But you're I appreciate that you're giving the school side of the story too. I think that's important. How much did the school ask you to, like, can, if you fundraise a certain amount, will the ski team continue?
That's the question at hand right now. You know, the number is really like 250,000. That's about what our budget will be by the time we're off the books, right? Like, it was a little bit, it was less than that last year, but prices continue to increase. And so 250 is a good round number for the 2027 year, right? They didn't really come back to us and say, like, you need to raise money. They just said that the ski team's over. And now we're coming back with questions. Can we raise funds? Can we have some team fees? Because, as you know, PG skiing's, the club fees are quite expensive.
Oh, yeah.
We could do something like that. We're coming up with a lot of solutions, but we really need the buy-in from the president and the board of trustees that this can continue if we can structure it right, or else we're going to kind of be in the boat of University of Nevada, New Mexico, and Western State College. You know, they all went through the same thing, and they did raise the money. UAA is the other one. UAA was in the same situation, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And they all came up with the money, and other than UAA, the team still got cut.
Yeah, so there was the University of New Mexico. I remember that. It was a huge deal. They said the funding's getting cut. Everyone pitched in. They raised the money. But did they just raise 1 year of budget, or did the money not get accepted at all, and that was just it?
I don't really know the details on that right now. As you said, a few years ago, and I've kind of forgotten. When we get through the season, I'm going to reach out to all these people that
are
involved in all of this. And the funny thing is, Reno's the most interesting one, because that team got cut, and I think it was dormant for about 10 years. And then a group of concerned citizens got together, and they said, well, we want to have a ski team at Reno. It's really important for the Western region, really, because these college guys, whether they be Americans or Euros, they come in and they provide a level of competition that's good for the youth.
Yeah. Right.
And we're rich in Colorado. We got CUDU, Utah comes over. So our races in Rocky are awesome, but the Western region needs University of Nevada Reno, because they're gonna be bringing guys in that can help the whole Western region.
Yeah.
And so anyway, these guys got together and they said, well, let's try to figure this out. And they did some fundraising. They approached the school, and they sold the idea of how important the team was to the school and to the region. And now it's been reinstated.
Okay. So that's a model.
That's a model
to look at. Yeah.
And, you know, my opinion on that is it's going to be a lot easier to save this team than to recreate it in 5 years or 10 years. Because that was a lot of work that the Reno boosters put into it. And it's great now. I mean, it's really...